All right. Well, let's pray. And here, just think about this. As we're looking at the Feast of Israel, we're looking at the special holidays and holy days that set them apart. But what we said was this. Not only when the Jewish people looked at these holy days that God had set apart for them, they thought about things God had done for them. But they were also foreshadows of what Jesus Christ is going to do, was going to do, or is going to do. So it's pretty amazing. We started with the Sabbath day. We looked at that. We started with the new moon feast. And then last couple of weeks, we've been doing the Passover. And the Passover really, as we know, reminded the Jewish people how they came out of Egypt. But we know that the Passover is really a foreshadow of Jesus Christ, the Passover lamb who died on Passover for us as our Passover lamb. So there's some great things. Let's start with a prayer, and then we'll get into it. Heavenly Father, what a great, great morning. Thanks for our class. Thanks for the fun that we have as we come together. Most of all, Lord, we thank you for our Savior Jesus. Lord, as we think about Israel, we think about the feast, the Leviticus passage where you laid out the seven feasts, and then the other feast and the other holidays or holy days that are found throughout the Scripture. Lord, we thank you that they're memorials, really, and they're reminders of our Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, we know that as non-Jewish people, in a sense, as the church, the body of Christ, we're not under any kind of Mosaic law or anything, and yet we understand that the things that were written in the Old Testament were written for our instructions. And so, Lord, as we see the feast, we see the foreshadows of our Savior Jesus Christ. Teach us, Lord, as we study, as we put this together, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let me, I'm not sure what's the first slide that you have? Is it the one, can you go back just a little bit to where it says do the three things? Background on Passover, Jewish meal, and Jewish. Can you just go that one real quickly? Right. This is what we're doing in this section. We're getting a little background on the Passover. We're looking at the Jewish Passover meal, and then the whole idea is the type of Christ. We saw the background. We went to Exodus 12. In fact, if you want to, go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Exodus 12. That's where we've been. And you remember that Moses went to Pharaoh, and I'm not going to go into the details at all because we've already talked about it. Pharaoh wouldn't let the people go, so God brought the plagues on the Egyptians, and all of the plagues, all 10 plagues had to do with the gods of Egypt. The very last plague, the 10th plague, it was really the key, and it was the death of the firstborn. Pharaoh's son was the firstborn, and he was going to be the next god, basically the next Pharaoh and the next god, because they thought Pharaoh was God. And so it was a judgment on the gods. And the bottom line was that God had to judge Egypt to let his people go. And of course, if you remember, we looked at the key verse, and I think it's verse 5. On the 14th day in the evening, they were to kill the Passover. They were to kill the lamb. And what they did is you remember that God told them to take a lamb, kill it, get all the people in the room. If a family was so small that a lamb would be too much for one family, you brought several families together. And what they were going to do is they were going to kill the lamb, put the blood on the sides of the door and the top of the door. They were going to be dressed and ready to go, have their sandals on, stick in the hand, eat the food as if they're about to walk out the door, because they were. And that's why they ate unleavened bread. It was a picture of no sin, but it was also a picture of the fact they didn't have time for bread to rise. We're leaving town. That's bottom line. And, of course, we know that it was amazing that at exactly that time, that night, the angel of death, or God, we're not sure how he put it or how he says it, but they came through, and every household in Egypt had someone dead that didn't put the blood on the door, of course. And the Egyptian people said, please get out. And we talked about it last week. As they were leaving, they basically were told, and they asked the Egyptians, they asked their masters, as they were being pushed away, they asked their masters for the gold and the silver and their jewelry and all that, and they got all of that. And the bottom line, they were going to ultimately use that to build the Ark of the Covenant and the tabernacle. We know they used it for good. They also used it for what? Bad. What did they do with it? They made the golden calf from it too. So, you know, anything that God gives us sometimes can be used for good or bad. And we saw that this powerful part, and then I think the next slide shows this. We realized that the Passover lamb is a foreshadow of Jesus Christ and the whole Passover, because from that point on, throughout their generations, Jewish people, on the 14th day of the first month was Passover, and they always remembered how God delivered them by the Passover lamb from the bondage of Egypt. Jesus made the change and basically said, I'm the Passover lamb. And if you remember that the Passover lamb was without spot or blemish, had to be a perfect lamb. Jesus Christ was with the Lamb of God without spot or blemish. He knew no sin. 1 Peter 1:19 talked about he is the spotless Lamb of God who knew no sin to be sin for us and all of that. Then the second aspect of the Passover lamb is they killed it. They killed it and put the blood on the door, but they killed it. Jesus Christ died on the cross. Mark 10:45, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life. I mean, it's the most amazing thing to think about. Have you ever thought about this? And really, that God leaves heaven, becomes a man, God-man, so he can die. So he can die for us because the wages of sin is death. And the third thing is the blood had to be applied. They had to believe God, kill the lamb, put the blood on the door. They had to stay in the house, stay inside the house with the blood, because when God came through that night and he saw the blood, what would he do? He would pass over the house. That's why it's called Passover. And so the blood had to be applied. Well, it has to be applied by faith. We believe. Without the shedding of blood, there could be no forgiveness. It all goes back to the blood of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 9 talks about the blood of Christ. Hebrews 10 says the blood of bulls and goats can never take away sin, but when he offered himself as one sacrifice for sin forever, he has sat down at the right hand of God. So the book of Hebrews tells us about it. It's just faith, and the blood is applied in a sense that way. You believe in Jesus Christ as Savior. So powerful stuff there. It's something that we can never take for granted. When I see, and we're going to get to this, and it'll be a little bit more in lesson three, but when you see Jesus sitting down with his disciples, his apostles, on that last night, and they're eating the Passover meal. They've come together for Passover. They haven't even grasped all this yet. Most of them don't even understand that Jesus is going to die, even though five times in the book of Matthew, he told him he's going to Jerusalem, be delivered over, be crucified, and rise again. Peter even said, we're not going to let that happen. Remember that? And so they're sitting there at what we call the Passover meal, what ultimately is what we often call the Last Supper, which ultimately becomes the Lord's Supper for us, the picture of all this. And they're sitting there not even knowing what's happening. They're all rushing in to get the best seats. Nobody even washes anybody's feet. That's why Jesus got up and washed their feet. I mean, it's amazing when you think about what happened. Well, the second part of this study is, and if you look at your outline, is the Jewish Passover itself. And we want to see it. It's really a picture of Christ. But I want to remind you of some of the things that are there. And if we get through with the rest of this lesson, and let me pull this out for a second. We're in lesson two, and we're over where it says the Jewish Passover picture of Christ. Here's what they did first. And that's why if we get to lesson three, some of this is a review. The start of lesson three is a review of some of this. So we'll just skip it when we get there if we get through with this lesson. But I want you to notice that the Jewish Passover really was a picture of Jesus Christ. The first thing they had to do was remove all leaven, because leaven is really a picture of sin. And so what he told them to do is that night, take bread, and it would be unleavened bread, no yeast in it. Yeast was a picture most of the time. Sometimes it wasn't, but most of the time it was a picture of sin. Leaven was a picture of sin. And so they were saying, you're going to remove all sin from us as we get ready to be God's people. I think a thing that you want to think about is this. We're studying the book of Genesis on Sunday nights, and the Jewish people, they're just about, when we get through with the chapter 45 and 46, the Jewish people are going to end up in Egypt. And they go down there with everything looking good, and they go down there with about 70 people. These 400 years later, they're coming out with 2 million people. And they're coming out as a nation. They go down as a family. They come back as a people, a nation. And here God is delivering his people. And so he said, you're going to be my people. You're going to be my nation. You've got to deal with sin. And so they changed their dishes. In fact, in a Jewish home, they changed dishes out. There were certain dishes that they used only for Passover. You can't mix certain foods, can't do all that. In fact, in a Jewish home, when it's close to Passover, they do what we've often called spring cleaning, right? Because it takes place in the spring. Because they cleaned out the house. They swept it out. They got everything spotless, because what they were saying is there can be no leaven at all in this house. And so they cleaned out their house. And as the years go by, people say, it's spring cleaning time. We got to clean out our house, get everything. You know, it's spring. The weather's coming better. We want to clean out our house. It goes back to the Jewish people removing all the leaven from their homes, getting ready. Now, you remember that the night of the Passover meal, they had no leaven. They got in that room. They put the blood on the door. They had their clothes ready. They had their bags packed. And they're ready to leave when God told them to leave. When did they eat the meal? Do you know? In the evening, right? I mean, let's just say that when does evening start? Jewish time. When does the next day begin? But around, you could say 6, around 6. So they probably ate between 6 and 6:30 or 7. And then they left in the middle of the night. God told them to leave in the middle of the night. Didn't the angel of death go about midnight? And they all awoke with death and they left. And you remember, they pulled out of there and they had the big pillar of fire to lead the way and to protect them and all of those kind of things. So it's powerful. Now, Jewish people today, let's think about how they do this. They would all, on Passover, they remove all the leaven. They come together on the evening of the 14th as a family. Guess who lit the candles? Guess who got to light the candles? Because they lit candles. Mama, the mama of the family, lights the candles. And so she lights the candles. Then there would be a prayer. There's a thing called the Haggadah, which is the reading of the story. Most Jewish families, if they're at all celebrate this, they have a book that's a thick little book. It's ornate. It's beautiful. It's called the Haggadah. And inside there is the story of Passover in which the father reads the story. They go through the story of the Passover every year. Every year. The head of the family, which was the father, or if it was the grandfather, they would read this. The meal consisted of 4 cups of wine and 3 pieces of unleavened bread. Now, that's not the whole meal. The meal has that. There were 4 different times that they drank wine. 4 different times, 4 cups. There were also 3 pieces of unleavened bread called matzah. And it was pretty special. They were a set apart of people. That's what they're all doing. Now, let's think about this. As they got ready and they sat down, the youngest in the family, he got it every year because the youngest didn't usually change. So the youngest would always say, why is this night different than all the other nights? And then they would read the story. And the very first cup was called the cup of sanctification. It set them apart. And they called it the cup of sanctification. And they would drink it. The father would say, he would pour, and they would all drink. And that set them apart. Because, see, this is the Jewish nation. And this reminds them that they have been set apart by God. What about us? We trust in Jesus Christ as Savior. Are we set apart? Set apart in Christ. That's why the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. We're set apart. Now, then, just, and I'm not going into a lot of detail, but the father would take the 3 pieces of matzah, the unleavened bread, and it had been in a little bag, and he pulls it out, and there are 3 pieces. And there's one, let's think of a big cracker. Big cracker, another big cracker, another big cracker, okay? What do the 3 pieces represent? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The father of the family would take the middle one out. Who does that represent? That's Jesus. And he breaks it. Piece is broken. You know when Jesus passed around the bread that night? And he said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. What do you think he was doing? Now, the Jewish people today, they have the 3 little things and they pull it out. In fact, if you ask the Jewish guy, why do you pull out the middle one and what does it represent? They go, I don't know. We've just always pulled out the middle one. What does the middle one represent? Jesus. And Jesus was broken for us. You realize that night when Jesus passed around the bread, what piece of bread do you think it was? It's the middle one. That's what it was. And that was the bread. There's the bread and the wine, and we'll talk more about it in just a second. Which comes first in the Lord's Supper? What do we take first? We take the bread or the juice? We take the bread. Okay, now in this Passover meal, what have we had first so far? We had the cup of sanctification, and then he takes the different bread and everything. Now he's broken it, but they haven't in the normal Jewish thing, the father breaks it, but they haven't got further yet. Okay, then this is when they read Exodus 12. They read the stuff that we read last week, how about the blood is applied to the door and how this, and then if you notice that that the blood of the lamb is applied so that they'll be delivered, the Lord will pass over. They read that. They all remember that. Now, there's different things there, and I'm going to touch on it because we're going to go to lesson 3 in just a second. And in lesson 3, I got a lot of the details, but there was a lamb bone and some bitter herbs and some salt water and some parsley and some apples and wine and honey, which they called a certain thing. And let me just finish this thing for you. That's first cup of sanctification, and the matzah bread and the broken was a picture of Christ, and then some aspects of the meal. You don't have to fill that in because we're going to go to lesson 3 in just a second, and I'm going to give you more details on that. But then they came to a second cup. And the second cup, they would take it, and they would take the cup like this, and they had their plate, and they would take their cup, and they would let a drop come out, and another drop, and another drop, and another drop, and another drop, and they did it till there were 10 drops on their plate. And the 10 drops represented what? The 10 plagues. But it's like the tears. They think of the plagues, and they think of the judgments, and all of those kind of things, okay? Now, we're at the end of this lesson, and of course, if we'd have been able to cover the lesson all at one time, we'd be at a stopping place and say, okay, we'll find out what happens next time. But we're not at a stopping place. We're going to keep going. But let me give you the two applications from this lesson too. Application number one is this. Let's pause to be reminded of our God and Creator who keeps all things in perfect order. That's what they would do. That's why all of the feasts were there. That's why they had a new moon feast. That's why they had a Sabbath feast. That's why they had yearly feasts. It made them remember who God is and what He has done. So pause and think about who He is and what He has done. Okay? The second one is realize Jesus Christ is our Passover lamb. Okay? He is our Passover lamb. And as we think about the Jewish meal, we think about what they would do and how they would do it. It's the Passover lamb, and that's who He is. Okay, now, here's what I want to do. Take your handouts, lesson 3, and turn to the second page. And if you notice on the second page, is everybody okay? Did anybody get it all written down? Take your time there for a second. We're just gonna catch up to where we are. Let me get over here in these notes. Okay. If you notice at the top of the second page, it says the Jewish Passover, and it gives a review. What is the first cup that they drank? Cup of what? What? Sanctification, because they drank it and it set them apart. And then the youngest son would say, why is this? What would he say? Why is this night different? Okay, because, and they're going to read. They're going to begin to talk about it. And they're going to see what happened. And they would read the Exodus. I think if you're, yeah, here we are right here. This is the slides. Why is this night different than any other night? They're going to read Exodus 12. They're going to talk about the blood being applied to the door. But I remind you of what's there. First of all, let me show you what's in the meal. Okay. There's bitter herbs, which remind them of the bitterness of Egypt. When they would taste the bitter herbs. Now, we'd done this a long, long time ago at Countryside. We did a Passover meal. In fact, we used to do it about every couple of years. I would get one of our Jewish organizations that we support. When I say Jewish Christian organizations, and they would come in and they would help us put on a Passover meal. We've done one completely by ourselves. I have what we actually call a Christian Passover meal, which shows as you go through the Passover meal exactly as the Jewish people do it, and yet it explains everything dealing with Christianity through it. We've done that before. We'd like to do it again sometime. We'd like to do it around, of course, the time of you know, the death and resurrection of Christ and Easter and all that. It'd be fun to do. But we've done this. I've eaten the bitter herbs. We've had them. And when you eat it, you know what happens when you eat something that's bitter. The whole point was to remind them of when they ate that there was the bitterness of Egypt. They had the parsley, which was the salt water, which reminded them of the tears and the suffering that they experienced, and also the salt water of the Red Sea. And then they had some other things. They had the apples and wine and nuts and honey. It was called Haraset. Sometimes it's called Charaset, but it tasted really good, and it was it reminded them that what they would say about this is that it was kind of a thick thing that they ate, and it reminded them of the mortar. And they said, this reminds us of the mortar as we made all the bricks and had to do all that in Egypt. Talked about their suffering. Now, let me remind you of something. Of course, the unleavened bread would be the next part. And the unleavened bread was, there's no time for the bread to rise, but it was also a picture of sinlessness. Do you think that the Jewish people, even today, still think of Passover as they did all the way up to the time of Jesus, where they were thinking about being removed from the bondage of Egypt? Do you think they still think that way? You think they do? You say, yeah, I think you're right. You remember, and I've said this many times, and you've heard me say this, you go back to the time of Jimmy Carter, and they were bringing Anwar Sadat and Menachem Begin together. Do you remember that? When they were bringing the peace talks between Israel and Egypt. Israel and Egypt, Anwar Sadat. You know what happened to Anwar Sadat? Anwar Sadat was an Egyptian who decided to make peace with Israel. After he did it, they killed him. The terrorist Muslims killed him. That's what happened to Anwar Sadat, because he made a peace pact with the nation of Israel. Anwar Sadat was on one side, Menachem Begin on the other side. Jimmy Carter was sitting in the middle. And Jimmy Carter, I watched this on television. Jimmy Carter says, we have all worked so hard to bring about this peace treaty. And Menachem Begin says, but not as hard as my people worked in Egypt when they were slaves. Never forget it. Never forget it. They're not supposed to forget it. Because when they sit down with Jesus and they're remembering about the Passover and about bringing them out and the tears and the mortar and the brick and trying to come out, Jesus is going to say, but from now on, I want you to think of something else. I want you to think of this bread, it's me. This juice, it's the third cup, by the way. We hadn't got the second cup yet. It's the third cup. We'll get to it in a second. He said, it's me. Now let me show you something, and we'll have to stop in just a second, and we'll finish this next time. Remember the second cup? Second cup is the 10 drops that for each of the 10 plagues. And then after they did that, they had the meal. Now the meal was big most of the time. It was a lot of food. The meal, usually, if even today, the meal is a large meal. Now after the meal, you remember the father broke that bread? And then he went and hid it. And he's supposed to find it. And when they find it, the father brings it back. And that's when he takes the broken bread. And they're going to give this broken bread out. It was three pieces. It was a picture of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the middle one, broken. That's his death. When they go find him, remember, they lost him. They went to find him. When they come back, it's like his death and his resurrection. They don't understand that, but we understand that. That's exactly what happened. And he would take the bread. He then broke the bread and gave it out to the people to eat. And that's where Jesus in the Passover meal took the bread and passed it out. Okay, now let me show you something. We'll start with this, and we'll start with this next week because it's so good. The bread is a picture of Jesus Christ. Number one, it's unleavened, which means sinless. Jesus without sin, 2 Corinthians 5:21. Where was Jesus born? Where was it? Bethlehem. What does Bethlehem mean? Bayit Lahem. Bayit means house. Lahem means bread. Bethlehem is the house of bread. Jesus was born in the house of bread. Okay? Jesus said in John 12:24, unless a kernel of wheat falls into the ground and dies, then gives life. He says he has to die first and then give life. That's him. John chapter 6, Jesus calls himself the bread of life. Now this matzah bread, it's striped. When they originally cook it, they had it where there's stripes on it. It's a picture of Jesus Christ. He says, by my stripes you were healed. It's pictures of Jesus Christ. That's all it is. Did you know that matzah bread is also pierced? Little holes in it. Zechariah 12:10. They will look on the one in whom they have pierced. The bread is a picture of Jesus Christ. So when he took that bread, broke it, and said, y'all eat, this is my body. They understood. I know that's the bell. The third cup, right after it, I was going to stop. The third cup, is there another one? Yeah, the third cup is called the cup of redemption. Is that strange that that matches? The cup of redemption in which Jesus Christ then took the juice and passed it around and said, drink all of you. This is my what? This is my blood. So we'll stop there. What I'm going to do is we'll finish this, and then we're going to see how it fits together. And then what we're going to do is sit with Jesus, and we're going to go through the Passover meal that Jesus did, and we'll probably use Matthew 26, and we'll see exactly how he followed the order and how he referred it to himself. And so there's some great things there. We'll see that. And then we'll be through with Passover, and we'll get to unleavened bread. And we'll go through all of these. They all match perfectly. Heavenly Father, what a great morning. Thank you for the fact that Jesus Christ is our Passover Lamb. And we thank you, Lord, that as believers we are sanctified. We thank you, Lord, that as believers we seek to live for you and that we have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We thank you, Lord, for the bread of life, Jesus Christ, who was crushed and bruised and wounded for us. By his stripes we are healed. He is the bread of life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the Savior, and all who believe in him have eternal life. Lord, may we never forget Jesus Christ as our Passover Lamb. Thank you, Lord, for these things. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we'll get that one next time.